After years of complaints, Facebook simplified its privacy settings this week. The company says the changes will help users know exactly who can see the photos and status updates they're posting. Because for a long time, Facebook users have griped that they can't tell what they're sharing with whom. But at least Facebook is a place people go to share information intentionally. I mean, do you expect to be sharing your personal data when you go online to research a possible medical problem or find movie listings? Well, beware. Because even if you don't want to leave online footprints, many websites use something called cookies to collect details on everything from where you live to what clothes you buy. If you're security savvy, you've probably deleted cookies from your computer before. But the Wall Street Journal recently reported that some websites are now using so-called super cookies that are almost impossible for computer users to find. Julia Angwin wrote that story, and she joins us from NPR in New York. Julia, could you explain what simple cookies are when it comes to the computer world?
Yes, of course. So cookies are not delicious. They are just little tiny text files that are stored on their computer. And in and of themselves, a cookie is fairly innocuous. It's basically an ID number. And websites and different companies assign you an ID number when they see you so that they can remember you the next time they see you. And sometimes that you want them to remember. For instance, you want Amazon to remember who you are because you might have put something in your shopping cart and then you want to come back later and buy it. But there are hundreds of companies who you've never heard of that are also dropping cookies on you and following your movements around the web. And there's a whole market that they have in selling data about your behavior.
And there is a way on many computers to delete cookies using a little drop-down menu. But you reported about super cookies. Tell us how those are different and how they're not so easy to delete.
So most web browsers have a way for you to look at the cookies that are on your machine and delete them. However, as people have gotten savvier about deleting their cookies, the companies that are in the business of placing those cookies have also gotten savvier about where to put the files with your ID number. So they've started using all sorts of innovative places to basically stuff an ID number. So, for instance, you have a flash video player that plays movies or shows rich content. Some people have stored super cookies in the flash player,
where you might not know to look.
Yeah, so your normal cookie cleaning operation would not go to the flash player. You wouldn't think to yourself, oh, I'm going to go clean out the cookies in the flash player also. So these are places that you wouldn't think to look to delete.
If you know where to look, then are you able to delete them, or are they sometimes undeletable?
You can delete them if you know where to look, but some of the places that they're being stored are really places that most people would feel uncomfortable deleting files because they wouldn't necessarily know which are the ones to remove safely.
Why are companies trying to stash these super cookies away? What do they use the information that the super cookies gather for?
Well, first of all, I just want to say this: the companies that we found in our article using super cookies all immediately said, oops, we didn't really mean to be doing that. We're going to stop.
Now, so, do you buy that, by the way, or is this more a case of it being easier to beg forgiveness than ask permission?
I mean, with Microsoft, they were using this super cookie technique since 2007. And I do find it somewhat difficult to believe that a technology-based company inadvertently was doing something like that for 4 years. The problem is that the data collected by these cookies is monetizable, meaning they make money by using it. And so they have an incentive to get as much data as possible. And if they feel that they can get a little bit of an edge over another company, you know, they might be incentivized to use some innovative techniques.
So you found that MSN, whose parent company is Microsoft, and also Hulu were doing this. And as you said, they say it's inadvertent. What are they using the information for?
It's not clear what they specifically were doing. But in general, what people use super cookies for is if you delete your cookie, they will use it to create a new one. So the idea is that they want to remember who you are when they see you. And they think, oh, this person deleted their cookie. That means they're sort of invisible to me. But luckily, I have this sort of, it's like a backup. I have a backup file, and that will recreate another cookie. It's called respawning.
And that would help them, for example, target more appropriate advertisements to you?
Yeah. So the idea is if they know all your interests and likes and your behavior, they can target ads against you more directly. And then you might click on those ads. So the weird thing about this whole chain is they only get paid when you click on the ad. And so they basically have to make that ad so compelling, which means that they have to know a lot about what causes you to click.
We're talking today about how people's personal information is often collected online and then sold to companies that use it to target ads to our individual interests. One of my colleagues, for example, buys a lot of shoes online, and she doesn't think it's a coincidence that her computer now pops up lots of ads for shoes. This personal data is captured using small digital files called cookies. When you visit a website, those cookies get stored on your computer. They then remember your name, the items in your online shopping cart, details that give a sense of what your personal tastes are. A lot of people know how to delete cookies so they won't be tracked. But the Wall Street Journal recently reported that some websites are now using so-called super cookies, which are almost impossible to define and delete. Julia Angwin did that reporting for the Journal and is back with us. Julia, why is there a sense of alarm about these super cookies and about online tracking in general? Because there's arguably some consumer benefit to online tracking. I mean, if the online ads I'm being targeted with are for products I actually might want to buy, that could be useful to me. What is it about online tracking that people should be worried about?
I agree. So a lot of this, it's not as creepy as it might appear at first because it's mostly just targeted advertising. And sort of, okay, sometimes it's a little annoying when you look for something and then the ads for that thing follow you around. But at the same time, sometimes it's useful. However, the problem is that there's really no rules about what they can do with that data. So they can sell it to whoever they want. You know, there's employers who have looked into using this type of data. Insurers have looked into using this type of data. There's absolutely no law regulating the use of this data. And so that's what really raises the concern, is that there's this incredible amount of surveillance going on. We found last year in the start of the What They Know series, 243 cookies dropped by one website, dictionary.com. So when you think about the vastness of this surveillance and the fact that they could do anything they want with this data, that is what's concerning.
And many people, of course, go online to look up health information if they think they may be ill, maybe to do their banking where they're entering sensitive financial information. What about the concern there? Those are things you really might not want an outside party and probably don't want an outside party knowing about.
Yes, absolutely. So health and finance are considered sort of the no-go zones for this kind of tracking. It's the area that make people the most concerned. And interestingly, that is the area where we also found a different kind of tracking that was taking place, something called history stealing. It was found on the websites Flixster, which is a movie sharing site, and Charter, which is a cable company's homepage. And they inadvertently, again, had some code there that was looking for whether you had visited medical sites if you were concerned about menopause, fertility, credit repair, IRS back taxes issues. So they were really looking for incredibly specific financial and health information.
Again, to create targeted ads, was that the purpose?
That's what they say, yes. And I suppose that there are definitely people who want to target ads in that arena. Now, this is one thing that is really being debated in Washington right now, because there are lawmakers who think that there should be some limits on whether that kind of sensitive data can be targeted. However, right now, the industry says that those are fair game. As long as it doesn't contain your actual account number or your actual Social Security number, the online advertising industry has its own rules allow that kind of targeting.
And Julia Angwin of the Wall Street Journal, you wrote about that in your recent article, that the online ad industry has created its own voluntary guidelines saying that as long as we don't collect financial account numbers, Social Security numbers, things like pharmaceutical prescriptions, that's okay. If the online ad industry is not collecting those kind of things, do we really have anything to worry about?
Well, it depends on your point of view. That obviously, some people think it's fine and they would like to be tracked. They like the targeted ads and they're not concerned about the secondary usage of this personal data about them. And other people are concerned about it. A lot of it has to do with the fact that we're in very early days of these markets. And so right now, this whole industry is only 3 years old. And so people are just kind of waking up to the possibility of what could happen with this data. And right now, since it's primarily advertising And some advertising that's targeted at you because of health conditions could be offensive, but maybe doesn't feel like it's actually harming you. Some people might say that's a fair trade-off. But I think there's a growing feeling, at least in Washington, where there are 5 privacy bills pending, that maybe there needs to be some limits placed on the use of such sensitive data. The other thing that people are worried about with all these cookies is that there's so much data known about you that when you go to a website, you basically can't assume that you're anonymous. You have to assume that they know something about you. So already many websites tailor the news that they show based on data they have about you. So the search results I get on Google are different than the ones you get. My Facebook news feed is different than yours. Probably the front page of many news websites are different. And so there's also sort of a societal concern about whether the internet is any longer common ground, whether it's a place that we all have the same experience or whether it's really a hall of mirrors where we're just seeing reflections of ourselves everywhere. And that's just a question about whether we want to live in a society like that.
Based on the reporting you've done, any advice you have for people who regularly go online and may not want to be tracked?
Yeah, you can use a lot of different software to try to block tracking. Unfortunately, you know, as we found with this super cookies, there's always going to be a next level in this arms race. So whatever the software is that is the state of the art right now that I could recommend for you would probably not block against super cookies. And so unless you want to sort of keep constantly reading up on our articles to find out what the latest thing you should do, you probably would just have to know that even if you use some of this software, you're still going to be somewhat exposed.
So the cat and mouse game will continue.
It will.
Julia Angwin is the lead reporter in the Wall Street Journal series called What They Know. Julia, thank you very much.
Thank you.